For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Good evening. I'm Douglas Floyd. I am the temple director and the president of the board of directors at Ancient Dragon Zengate. Taigen was supposed to speak tonight, but was not able to come and tagged me, which is a good thing for me. It allowed me to spend a little time thinking about a topic that we sort of visit over and over. And that is the great puzzle that Dogen, our founder in the 13th century in Japan, had. When he was a young monk, he was aware of the teaching that had developed in East Asia, in China, and, about that we are already, as we are, Buddhas. We are just confused and deluded Buddhas. And that being the case, Dogen was obsessed with the question of, well, if that's the case, if we're Buddhas right now, why do we have to practice? And that was really the driving force for him to go to China. He had practiced Tendai Buddhism and had been introduced to Rinzai Zen, and he hadn't answered that question for himself, and so he took the opportunity to go to China and visit different monasteries and study. And I think all of us can share that same puzzlement, or maybe even feel a certain sense of frustration. In particular, yesterday was the end of Ancient Dragon Zengate's Rohatsu Sesshin, the five-day Sesshin, which we celebrate the awakening of the Buddha. And so it could be a little frustrating to be sitting there with a really aching back and very painful knees and feeling pretty grumpy and confused and distracted and being told that you're already a Buddha. So I thought I would visit one fascicle of Shobo Genzo that I think is really worth reading. It's the Guidelines for Studying the Way. And Dogen provides 10 practice points, and he discusses each one. And the one I wanted to just talk about briefly is number 3, and the guideline is, in the Buddha way, you should always enter enlightenment through practice. So a worldly teacher says, through study one can gain wealth. Buddha says, within practice, there is enlightenment. So Dogen introduces there the great teaching and the great theme of Soto Zen. And that is that our practice is itself the function or the expression and verification of Buddha, and the expression of awakened mind. So there is a parallel and a contrast here, right? I mean, the worldly teacher says through study one can gain wealth, and what that's referring to is how China had developed its system of bureaucracy, in which you obtained a position by studying very hard and taking examinations, and based on the scores that you received, you could enter the government at different levels and in different prestigious places. Many people did not score well, but if you scored at the bottom, you might get a very minor position out in the boondocks. If you did very well, then you could get a very promising position in the capital. And so the whole point was that these young men would study very, very hard for years and years, studying the classics of Chinese literature, history, music, poetry, memorizing enormous amounts of it, learning to write. And in the exam, they would not just ask questions, but they might ask you to write a poem on a subject. And you would spontaneously have to write a poem. And having done well on the exams, all of this would pay off at the end with these opportunities. You would be set out on the path, which eventually would lead to great wealth. But Dogen agrees that the Dharma is like that too. Buddha says, within practice, there is enlightenment. So there has to be practice. There has to be an effort. But the difference is that the practice itself is the expression of enlightenment, the expression of the realization of Buddha and awakening. So there's not this long path of study leading to riches and wealth. And obviously there's sort of a metaphoric comparison in ideas about Buddhist practice as well, so that within long study of scriptures, long study of meditation and of monastic discipline, it said sometime in the future there would be a payoff, you would be enlightened, and in the very distant future, many lives from now, you would become a Buddha. So Dogen sort of illustrates the plays with this a little bit, gives examples, and just extends this. He's not making an argument. He's really just talking about the contrast between these ideas. And he goes on, it is unheard of that without studying someone should earn wealth, or that without practicing someone should attain enlightenment. So once again, there has to be work, but there is that contrast. At the same time, though practice varies, initiated by faith or Dharma knowledge with emphasis on sudden or gradual enlightenment, you always depend on practice to go beyond enlightenment. So, he gives these examples of why we might start practice, either just through faith or through study, or we have even differing ideas about how enlightenment works. Either it's sudden, practice, 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 boom, there's enlightenment, or practice, 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 and gradually delusion is worn away and wisdom, prajna, increases over time, and you become more and more awakened gradually. And he says, though study can be superficial or profound, and students can be sharp or dull, accumulated studying earns wealth. This does not necessarily depend on the king's excellence or inability, nor should it depend on one's having good or bad luck. If someone were to get wealth without studying, how could he transmit the way in which ancient kings in times of either order or disorder ruled the country? So study, it's not only fundamental to our getting our own wealth, but it's how the world operates in an orderly and just way. That even if you're not the most talented student, or if you are among the very talented students, you work and work and work and accumulate study in order to have the merit to take a position and earn wealth. But and having done that, that's the only way that you would be able to pass on a method for how you're going to have success and gain wealth in the world. But he has a contrast then, if you were to gain realization without practice, how could you comprehend the Tathagata's teaching of delusion and enlightenment? How would you get from here to there if just suddenly, spontaneously, you awakened? And how would you understand, how would you ever communicate that? It would be a conflict with all of the teaching of the Buddha that anyone's ever had, where you would have to practice the Eightfold Noble Path and the paramitas and the precepts leading you toward an awakening. A sort of meteor paragraph is, you should know that arousing practice in the midst of delusion, you attain realization before you recognize it. At this time, you first know that the raft of discourse is like yesterday's dream, and you finally cut off your old understanding, bound up in the vines and serpents of words. This is not made to happen by Buddha, but is accomplished by your all-encompassing effort. So I think that's, you know, that's exactly the koan for us in Soto Zen, right? That arousing practice in the midst of our delusion, you attain realization before you recognize it. Why don't we recognize it? Because we still feel all of the emotions. We feel very much the same. Thoughts still come up. Emotions still come up. Life can still be difficult. But having, I guess to use phrases that Dogen uses pretty regularly, by sitting down and going against the grain, turning the light within, not being caught up in the stream of thoughts and emotions, being aware not just of the things of the world and the objects of thought and desire and clinging, but becoming aware of that clinging and desire and aversion itself, while we continue to feel them, we become aware of them and step outside of that clinging, and we are not caught up in them in the same way. We become, there's a sense of openness and perspective on it, and freedom for that matter, because while we may feel these things and have these emotions, we are not caught up in them and carried along by them in the same way. So I think the sensation we frequently have in Zazen is like another set of metaphors that or similes that Dogen uses. It's like the fish or a bird in a net, and the net has, they've gotten free from the net,